OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Paddy Stapleton is with us. Paddy, good morning to you.
Morning, Ger. How are you?
What's that bit like in the green room just before you go out to play in an All-Ireland final with your best mates and some of the best players ever to play the game?
Yeah, I suppose for me it's huge focus and a lot of excitement. I suppose we always got in a circle, I'd say nearly every team does. It's the closest part to the pitch. But it's pure excitement for me. And you always think about maybe the managers you had and that last maybe rousing speech before you go out. So, look, it is the pinnacle. You only think afterwards about all you've been through just to get to that moment. And I don't think you fully appreciate it while you're there is probably the only issue you have.
It was interesting listening to the two lads talking about what that's actually like and the different characters of the players. You can't hide at that stage. You are who you are. Like James McCarthy with a nice cold stare. I mean, that's kind of what I expected. Were there people laughing? Were there people kind of with that nervous excitement who are kind of, it might have felt out of sequence or out of touch, but actually that's who they were.
Yeah, I think I would say you'd be concerned for a team who weren't themselves at that stage, definitely. I think I was certainly somebody extremely relaxed, but obviously the last couple of minutes then you get a bit more tuned in, and you know you have Shane McGrath on the programme a lot, and you wouldn't really put him with somebody who's ultra serious, so he'd be certainly having a laugh before we go out. So it would be that, and probably the most interesting time I've been in there was last year with my club. Were quite a jovial crew. And I suppose the older players were, Brendan, myself, Dan, were keen to keep that going. So even 5 minutes before throwing, I think there was a huge excitement, nearly childlike. And I was very, very happy to keep that going because I think if you go out there trying to be, as you said, something you're not, I think the whole thing, the shackles can come off very, very quickly.
And then just one last thing on this before we get to the All-Ireland final, because that's what everybody wants to hear. But that's like big intensity in the change room. And then you run out and then there's all these stuff that you have to do before the actual match starts again. So it's up, down, up, down, up, down, and trying to manage that.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point out there because, and I think that's where experience comes into it, in that you're used to that. You are up. And I think if you're not up leaving the dressing room, there is something wrong. But I remember my first time playing in 2009 where it was packed house. My ears just running out to the field with the crowd were gone ballistic, and it was like coming in and out at a concert. If you're close to that speaker at a concert, it was going woom, woom, up and down. So it was crazy. And then you go and you have to stand for 5 minutes to meet the president or do a parade, and then you have to get yourself going again. So I think experience is a huge part in that. But I think good management team will set you up for that, and they'll kind of walk you through the day. Obviously, you can't experience it until you're there, but it certainly is somewhere that experience and a Kilkenny team or maybe a Limerick team this weekend can benefit.
Now, all of a sudden, none of that actually applies in many respects because there is no marching. I see Colm Key speculating. He thinks at this stage that there's going to be no Artane Boys band, and he thinks that there's going to be no red carpet. And maybe they'll come up with something to make it feel like an All-Ireland final as much as they possibly can. But and I've no doubt the teams will know about that. But does that actually make it a little bit easier for Waterford that's not going to be the case? Granted, they've already been in an All-Ireland final, so most of them would have some experience of this.
Yeah, I think it does. At the same time, they can still go out and hurl terrible or brilliant. You know, that can happen. But, if you were Liam Cahill, you prefer there wasn't that ceremonial stuff beforehand. Because what do sports psychologists and managers all say? We'll treat it like any other game. And that's how we're going to get the best performance. So, obviously, if you have an relatively inexperienced crew, you're going to say, yeah, let's get out into the field and get to the hurling as much as we can and stop all this thinking part, which is often the issue in between.
Yeah, you want it to be as unconscious as possible. You've been talking about Waterford as a team who might benefit from the concertina championship and the sense of confidence that they've gained from match to match to match. And here we are now with the time telescoping. Do you still feel that actually they're timing their run perfectly? Are you picking them at this stage?
I am. And look, it's like the last few years, I think in hurling, we talked about sports psychology, I think that has come on so much in terms of control and what you can control. And also with the water breaks, I think it's going to be a lot more controllable for Liam Cahill and his selectors to keep the focus right throughout the 70 minutes. I know we played in 0-9, and you know, if we had our last water break against Kilkenny that day, then maybe we would have pushed it over the line. You know, to keep your systems right, to keep the way you're playing, to keep your discipline, all of that, we could have kept that, I think, shored up a lot more. So I think there are a couple of advantages. Even if you're thinking about players on the field being able to speak to each other, being able to communicate, keeping each other on task as the game wears on, it's a lot easier with a house that isn't packed. So I just think there's a few things in their favour. And look, I think they're hurling at the minute. They're hurling with a bit of a primal instinct. It's so important. I'm not trying to be a hurling snob now, but certainly looking at other sports, you can control the ball and the way you play a lot easier. You know, the motor skills aren't as fine. But in hurling, you know, one slip up, one mishandled, and, you know, the game can be blown up, or that series of plays can be blown up. So I think they have that at the minute. Limerick are a brilliant team. But I think they're hurling within themselves. I know everyone's waiting for this massive performance. Even though they are getting good results, people are waiting for a huge explosive performance. And I just think you can be waiting and waiting. And I think Waterford are proving that in the last 2-3 games.
Yeah. Also, you just talked about, before I get into the matchups, about how sickening it is to go against an opponent who you've already beaten that year.
Yeah. No, I don't like it. Because maybe it's a weakness of myself, but you're always waiting for that time that they're kind of cutting onto you, you know, that they've found out the code, and Limerick is a code, like, you know, it's really something that you have to break. And I think the more that Liam Cahill meets them, and the more the players, you know, the players would have got confidence off that match in the Munster final, I think. If you're saying on what Bairns, they would have said, well, we're quite inexperienced. And then the fact that, in everyone's opinion, I would say, and definitely in mine, they've pushed on since then. They've added a real threat up front. Austin Gleeson has improved. They're nearly more sure at the back with the half back line. You know, if I was them, I'd be going in quite confident. And the fact that they're playing with such abandon, and as I think Stephen Bennett said before the semi-final, they're allowed to make honest mistakes. So they're going out with huge honesty, but they're going for flat out, like Callum Lyons on the wing. Just, I mean, sometimes they're saying, God, it's so naive. How is he even going at the ball that hard? But I think every one of them are doing that. And I think that's the right headspace to be in.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Paddy, just before we get into the matchups, Neil here, by the way. Going back to that Munster final, is it a case for Waterford this weekend that they need to be doing what they did in the Munster final, but doing it better? Or are they going to have a slightly different approach?
I think it'll be much the same how they hurl. I think they held Limerick well the last day. They stayed with them in that Munster final. They proved they were physically probably close enough as any team will be in the country to Limerick in terms of being able to stay with their running game, frustrate them, pull players out from their forward line to break down that system around the middle of the field. Well, I think they have added a little bit of a cutting edge up front. Now, the last day against Kilkenny, I thought they ran the ball a little bit too much in the first half and Kilkenny were able to stay with them. So I think they have to learn from that Limerick can really turn you over. So the ball might have to do a little bit more of the work in terms of not getting caught up with it. But I think they will have learned a lot from it. I think they'll say to themselves, we can get at this Limerick backline. I think they have a lot more confidence. As you said, we'll get into the matchups, but the players individually have a lot more confidence because they're, you know, the question would have been asked after the Munster final, was that just our showing for the year? And I think they've been absolutely unbelievable ever since, and we certainly have the best two teams in the final. I don't think they'll go in with really too many fears about Limerick.
You talked about stopping thinking. One of the big things that the management teams are both thinking about is who's going to end up marking who. Mm. Do we sometimes get sucked into this mattering too much, and actually it's a more primal thing? Or is this ultimately the single most important thing? I can never really decide.
It's weird. That's the thing I had in my head, I suppose. We always think about marking and matchups is maybe a wing forward and a wing back, corner forward, corner back, corner forward, and who gets out in front to get the ball and put the ball over the bar, and that's how we judge who won the matchup. I think it's gone into such a fluid game now, a little bit, like football around the middle, where it's, I think, what's set of forwards or backs, maybe half back line, half forward line, midfield, what set of those eight impose their will and their game on the others. Like, you're going to get got. If you're a wing back, your wing forward is going to score and vice versa. But it's how much you get in that meantime. So I think the day of saying, well, my man scored 3 points is kind of gone. I don't think a management is really looking for that. Barra, a cornerback or fullback is really being kind of roasted on 50-50 ball. They know the person out there is probably the best man for the job. So I think it's who's imposing. And I suppose for me, that Watford half back line, they have to. That half forward line for Limerick, I think they're the best in the game and maybe for a long time that we've seen. But if they don't impose their will, and I said, you know, Callum Lyons likes him playing with a bit of naivety, I think they have to. They just have to. To beat this Limerick team, they nearly have to be starving of possession of the ball. And much like Limerick did to Galway when they won the All-Ireland, I think it has to be kind of similar this time, that Limerick kind of aren't in the game for long periods.
The Limerick half forward line being so good, and yet also having had a couple of, well, having had Kyle Hayes come out of it. What do the Waterford half forward line need to do to somehow prevent him from ending up as hurler of the year after the game?
Yeah, such a valid point. I suppose that's one of the matchups. And I suppose one thing, Jack Fagan has to cause him a lot of trouble. Jack Fagan has been brilliant this year. Like, seriously, seriously good year for a player I didn't know very much about beforehand. The only thing is, the last day he was up catching a lot of ball, and now he's against a man who's 6'6". And that's going to prove very, very difficult. But they're going to have to work him hard. Like, I mean, if I was Waterford, I'd be concerned about the fact he's taking so much ball off the shoulder and flying through. And he did that in the half forward line, which was damaging. And I think they're losing unpredictability up there without him. But he's devastating coming forward. So I suppose, look, it's like a lot of things. You try and keep the ball either out of his hand, or when he gets it, you have to surround him. Now, he's been on the touchline a lot with the ball and really spreading the play. So they need to get him outdoor that sideline. Somebody needs to stop him. And look, I think you need to get to that ferocity where you're on the edge. And if you're on the edge, maybe you're over the edge. And if you're fouling him, so be it. So I think letting a Limerick team play from build from the back is would be very, very concerning. And I think even Waterford have to work as a unit. As we said, you know, people doing battles against each other. Really, it's up to that Waterford whole forward line to be honest enough and fit enough, fast enough to get to him, anticipate when he's going to get the ball and shut him down.
We had Richie Hogan on yesterday talking about how strong Waterford are between the 45s and how Tadhg De Burka's role is kind of an accompaniment to that in many ways. And that works for them because they flood that area and they bring people back. What happens if you do that and you're like, okay, Tadhg De Burka is free and Keane Lynch is free? Like, is that the ideal scenario for both teams? Or do you try and say, okay, I'm going to try and nullify Keane Lynch, but we lose what Tadhg De Burka gives us?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's something I had thought about last night when we talked about the show. And it's a great debate with centre-backs and centre-forwards. And back in the day when you had a Mullacher centre-forward, it was ideal. Centre-back could sweep the play, but now he has a lot to think about. And Keane Lynch is the type of player, he won't always be the one that looks obvious that he's causing the damage, the devastating run, but he'll pick the lock. You know, he always picks the lock. And if Tadhg De Burka, I've no doubt can mark him tight. But the problem is, you know, he might win 50, 60, 70% of the ball. But Keane Lynch, the balls he does get, if De Burka comes up tight on him, he will open the lock for another man. He's always looking for that pass off the shoulder. And that's, to me, you know, that opens up your full back line because your whole centre is gone. Look, I think you have to go Tadhg De Burka, play his normal game in many ways. And you have to trust then that, you know, by virtue of the rest of the team, that they can handle anything that's out around the middle. That they have the fitness, the willingness, the anticipation to see a Keane Lynch coming out. And just that he goes out into what we call, I suppose, the possession game around the middle of the field. That he's included in that it's maybe 8 against 8 out there, 7 against 8, and he's one of those, and that they can shut him down. But I think the issue you have, if you're against a team that aren't as good as Limerick, that will happen because you won't be struggling out the field too much. But the problem is Limerick pull you. And if you're one man short out there because Keane Lynch hasn't been followed, then that's a lot against Limerick because they've worked them triangles so well with the ball in hand. So, look, I'd be playing Tadhg De Burka in his regular role because if we don't get dominance back there and we're just chasing these Limerick forwards, then we're in trouble.
What about the inside forwards for Waterford who you know, there's just been an incredible kind of sense that this is somehow fated, that they finally have come together, and like one of them was playing football this time last year. What do you do if you're Limerick about that?
Well, the thing Limerick have is they're lucky. They probably have the best cornerback on form in Ireland in Sean Finn. And I mean, I suppose if he heard that question asked, he'd be fairly stuck in his craw, you know, because although Desi Hutchinson, you know, has played brilliant last couple of games, in the Munster final, he got one early ball, one good ball, and kind of maybe embarrassed Sean Finn with it, but it didn't happen twice. So Desi Hutchinson probably has enough to be worrying about with Sean Finn, but I do think he's improved a lot. Desi Hutchinson, he's judging ball a bit better, but the last day even against Conor Delaney, you know, he found the going tough. But if they are to get the best of him the next day, Waterford, they have to do what probably most teams have struggled to do against Limerick, and that's win that middle patch so well that they're able to set up good ball for him. Because I think Sean Finn is too good a hurler, too good at judging the play to let him break onto handy ball off Austin Gleeson or off the half forward line. So that'll be a seriously good matchup. But if Desi Hutchinson gets good ball, you know, circling out onto his left-hand side, then, you know, Sean Finn could have it all to do. And I suppose we have to take into account, I think it was only, was it Desi Hutchinson's second championship match when he marked Sean Finn the last day? So he's completely so much more experienced now that maybe we'll see a better battle Sunday.
It's a wild journey to an All-Ireland final. If you're predicting a Waterford win, is it something along the lines of 222 to 25 points or 26 points? Is that what it is?
I definitely think, look, Waterford will definitely need to get a couple of goals. And sometimes the danger is, I think, they don't play enough men. When they'll struggle, they might struggle out the field at times. Munster final, we saw it, they mightn't have enough guys up front to do the damage. But it certainly will be high scoring. You're not going to keep Limerick down in the score. We've seen that, like, you know, at times you could say that we're being very stupid because we say, geez, Limerick are playing within themselves, yet they have huge scores. But I think, look, Waterford will know that they have to get a goal or two. I suppose they'd be thinking Austin Gleeson has to go out and first of all work hard, and I think we've seen the harder he works, the better he is. So I think him with Tom Morrissey as well, if we're talking about matchups, Tom Morrissey's had a great season but probably doesn't love playing fullback, and again, but they need to be under pressure inside in that fullback line. It can't be just poor ball all the time. It has to be some good runs in, balls in, to give these lads the chance to get the goals. And I think without goals, you know, Waterford will struggle, but I think they've shown to have the ability now.
All right, Paddy, sounds like it's going to be a classic. Thanks a million for joining us. That was great. Cheers.
Cheers, Ger. Thank you.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.